so much that can be understood. It's a shame to.
Well, I know.
We had the same thing out here the other night. This young fellow who's a PhD in philosophy, and he got into it for the proper reasons. He had encountered a lot of questions, you see, that he couldn't answer, and he thought, well, I'll get into philosophy, and the philosopher can tell me those things. Can tell me about the spirit and such things. Well, he got into it and worked at it, and he's a brilliant fellow. And he found out that it wasn't telling him. But he had got started, and there was a sort of momentum there, and he couldn't stop. And then he got in with these people who were the faddists, Chapel Hill. And he just about went off his rocker. And I handed him this. This is to help me out on. I tried to read this, and I found that it was a little beyond me. Now, this is the man has got essays by these various writers, thinkers.
Rosenstock, Husey, and Martin Buber, and
Ferdinand somebody, and then at the end, he's got his, what he calls the method, his evaluation of it. And that's the way his evaluation starts out. And I just read a little bit there. Read it out wherever you can hear it.
Polyphonic creature.
Oh, I didn't give you the light.
Attempts to evaluate the preceding chapters involve a number of considerations. What is stressed, as well as what is entirely omitted in such a discussion, should betray the author's prejudices, the particular prescription of the eyeglasses used in the evaluation. Therefore, at the outset, it would be useful to suggest to the reader one or two of the guidelines to be followed. First, an attempt will be made to indicate the merits and usefulness of the material just presented. Inevitably, this will suggest the limitations of these insights depending upon the kinds of questions and problems which each devoted his energies to. Second, it is assumed that there is merit to a consideration of these writings, but that this depends in large part not only upon one's estimate of the validity of the question which one tries to answer, but also upon one's estimate of the adequacy of the answer. Question, answer, and evaluation imply certain subjective factors which the reader will and should obviously feel free to accept, reject, or modify in terms of his own situation. Third, such an approach applies a multi-leveled evaluation in view of the variety of considerations and perspectives involved. This applies not only to their respective merits and limitations viewed from the perspective of the problems they face during their own lifetimes, but also from the standpoint of the relevance of their insights to present as well as anticipated future needs and questions. Thus, on one level, a study and evaluation of this kind can be of interest to students of intellectual and cultural history as well as to those in the fields of theology, philosophy, of religion and
hermeneutics.
What is that? Hermeneutics.
I looked before.
I don't even know what it means. On another level, those concerned with interpersonal relationships and problems of communication might gain something from this material. It may well be that in a computer and electronically oriented age, the words speech and the spirit can share in the fashioning of a society which 50 or even 15 years ago few men in these disciplines could have anticipated or envisioned. The emphasis in the preceding chapters upon the potential sacredness of human speech set against a Johannian background may well signify the possibility of a new creative partnership among physical and social scientists, humanists, communication specialists, and students of religion. Perhaps men will once again realize that no man can totally divorce and isolate the spiritual or the sacred from human concerns. If man is the polyphonic creature which much of the preceding material suggests, then he must begin to focus his interest upon the harmony and integration of his multiform unity rather than upon any single role or style.
You think that's a pretty good idea?
Man is a polyphonic creature which must... He must begin to focus his interest upon the harmony and integration of his multiform unity rather than upon any single role or style.
See, that's got no meaning.
I don't understand.
Just words.
I'm just words, yeah.
Now that's what this boy, he's a PhD in philosophy. He read that, and he didn't read like you did. The very first thing, he started feeling harassed. He read it along, he got the words. That's what so much of your thought is, whether it's religious thought and sort of thought. And you see, there's no content.
It might be, really.
It just injures your brain.
I think it takes a certain type of brain to be uninjured by reading it. I can't.
Like this guy? Well, I don't know about this. Yeah, I don't.
That's speak funny. That I may see thee.
No, you want to use your own judgment as to what's practical for you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get into it just for the learning part, you see, and be learning.
Huh? I agree with that. I've learned a lot of things in school.
Your learning side is too cheap. There's nothing to that. Mm-hmm. You know so much more about this experience than so much more experience than mine. I would work from the premise, you know, you can't stay with it, but I'd work from the premise that religion has no content. And then you won't be burdened with all that school business.
I don't understand you.
Religion has no content.
Yeah.
It's in your experience.
Yeah, well, some of the things are... If things are just, you know, totally experienced and nothing to back them up, then it's a lot of the things are. And
I didn't tell you it's true. I told you. Yeah. I told you it'd be a safeguard.
Yeah.
You're more liable to be trapped by information like that. Mm-hmm. With you, you'll never be scholar enough to
eliminating experience completely is what you'd be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I think a lot of school does also.
Now you see, to me, the thing that the most useful thing you said tonight, you see, is that staff work on how to reach people.
Yeah.
And especially from what other people say that you're associated with, who have reached people.
Yeah.
But if you start this book business, you see, that'll neutralize you.
Mm.
I'm just talking, you understand that.
Yeah.
I can't tell you anything because I've not had the experience.
The Bible says, making as many books as much worse as the flesh.
Yeah, that's right.
Like that.
Yeah. Really, see, I've had no experience in books, and you probably ever have. I hope you don't need all that experience. But.
That's one reason I don't want to go on to college. I have a couple more courses to go. And then I get but I've learned a lot of good things and lots of other things I'm into here.
Oh, there's a lot of nice things to read. You can't get along without reading, of course.
Yeah.
But, you see, you get caught in stuff like that.
Yeah. That's a lot like philosophy, because like, people think all the answers and a lot of stuff, and they're really not there, but they just
One of my friends had gone to school. I was surprised. He'd taken one degree after another. I said he retired and was a minister down here at Ready for a while. And he said, I said, why in the world do you want so much learning? Well, he says, you've got to have it to protect yourself from what people say is the right way to do something. You've got to know more than they know in order to protect yourself from them. I'm not saying that very well.
That's true in a way, yeah. Knowledge.
It's exactly the way it is nowadays, especially.
It really is,
yeah.
And you've got to sound good. It doesn't matter if you know what you're talking about. But if you sound good, and so many people talk from a book, I mean, they're talking, and I know a guy like this, his name is Tony, and I'll talk to him sometimes, and he is on such a high intellectual kick that he speaks, and you think he was reading from this book. And it's such that you can't understand him, so you think since you can't understand him, that he must be saying something so perfectly valid and great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't know what he was talking about.
Well,
he's just talking. He read it and he memorized it. And he's shooting it off to me now. And I'm sitting there. When it can be said much more simply. You know.
Well, let me tell you. Since I've been out here, I've known a dozen ministers. Mm-hmm. And this is sort of country. It's cattle country. It used to be vegetable country. And most of the people who live out here make a living. They are electricians or carpenters, things like that. And I don't know a single one of the preachers who has ever had any experience at carpentering or plumbing or working with electricity or cattle. Now, what's wrong with knowing something about what the countryside knows? They're perfectly ignorant about it. They come out here and all they can do is say, what kind of cows is that, Mr. Miles? In a cattle country.
You don't know about it. Yeah.
But you see, the schools drive them away from it. They drive them toward this sort of stuff. So it takes a man with a great deal of willpower to learn how to drive a nail, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If he's going to be educated. Well, that's always taken, but there's something in it. Now, what can you do?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing, like, that I want to stay around college campuses, because, like, I just seen, like, I was just really messed up with so many people. Like, I was just thinking the other day about all the people in my freshman dorm. And half of them have flunked out of college or something, at least they're gone now. But some are really, you know, they've really been messed up, you know. And, a couple of guys that are just gone in drugs now. And it's really messed them up and a lot of other stuff. And, but that's the one thing that I just found how Christ has just completely changed my life around. That's why I want to relate him to other people. And that's why I feel like I ought to know about other stuff like this and maybe know more than other people, because maybe I can show it to them. Just all of those stuff like with the, like philosophy and everything like that. So I can't explain Immanuel Kant or anything, Kant or anything like that, but it's because like I have a small background in it. And I like relating to college kids, because like I feel like college is so much different than it used to be. I think before, like as a profession, like kids really wanted to learn, like they're in like stuff like medicine, engineering, because I think they're still really interested. But like, I'm living in a fraternity house right now. And, like, half the kids there, I mean, the only reason they're going is because there's nothing else to do, or else they're going to stay out of the army and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's not right, really. And they're searching. And I think people are basically searching for answers.
Well, you see, it's not... It's not that it's not right. It's just that... Where can you go, you know?
Yeah. I guess they're almost forced to go, really.
I have to literally take a tranquilizer before I go into a class. I can't sit through it unless I have tranquilizer. I cannot sit through the class. I get a breathing spell. No, I hyperventilate. Where, you know, And it's because I feel like I'm enclosed, and the very fact that I'm made to sit there and I can't get up or scream or say, shut up, I don't want to hear it. And
yeah,
I
turn them off.
I'm constrained, and so it makes me want to leave, and I sit near the door so that when I want, so that I know that I can get out. I mean, it's really weird. And if I explain this to a lot of people, they think I'm crazy. But I have to know I can get out.
Yeah.
Just the psychological security of sitting near the door. Because I want to get out. You know?
That's just in...
No, it's in most of our classes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even with Dr. New, as interesting as he is, sometimes things just get a little bit too heavy for me and I want to leave. I want to get out. And I went to talk to him one day, and I said, Dr. New, I'm very restless. I said, he was offering an independent study course, and I wanted to know what it was about. You know, you didn't go to class. I said, it's very hard for me to sit through classes. He says, are you a senior? And I said, yes. He says, well, you have senioritis. I said, no, I don't have senioritis. I said, I'm just, I don't know what's wrong, but I just have a hard time. He said, well, I noticed you sitting near the door. He said, I'll try and leave it open, you know, make you feel better. But the independent study course was really too difficult. You know, you just would have to know an awful lot about Pope and Swift and everything to do it on your own, you know, and then go to him and every week and rap with him for an hour and turn in a paper. But I literally...
He offers it,
but it's real difficult. So I force myself to sit through the class. It's sort of a disciplinary thing. But it's just like I know I feel trapped, you know. But I feel like I have to go to school because I'll be defeated if I don't go to school.
Yeah.
What will I do if I don't go to school? What kind of a job can you get? I feel totally insecure. Like I don't think about, oh, someone's going to marry me and take care of me. You know, I don't think of it that way. And I would really like to teach young kids. I'd really like, but I can't without a degree. And I only have 3 quarters after this, but God, it's so hard, you know. I'm just praying that I get through.
3 quarters.
Yeah.
You know, I see in your camps, you see, they work out certain little... They give you certain ways to treat the people, don't they?
Well, I don't have any ways, but like, yeah, I guess more or less, yeah. They sort of warned us how, you know, like, to react to people, you know, like that, because
yeah,
there are a lot in ways.
Such things as that.
People, yeah.
Well, now that's it seems like that is the thing you all need. Now I don't know about the drugs, but see, alcohol, the Alcoholics Anonymous, they have worked out. They're satisfactory,
yeah.
Little responses, which would relieve the pressure on people. And there's no theory to it. You have to study it.
Mm.
You can just go in there and work with them a while,
mm.
You know, with your background. It seems like, now this, Dale Carnegie, is that the name?
Yeah, I took that when I was a junior high school. Yeah.
His speeches. Now, he has some remarkably fine things worked out on that. And it's the sort of thing that, you know, he can find people to conduct those classes, so to speak. They can do it, you see, with a little experience themselves. They can take it once, twice, and then do it themselves. It's not highly, you know, complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it looks to me like things like that is what would prove useful.
As far as learning goes?
As far as your business goes.
Yeah.
If you want to be useful to people.
Yeah.
Doctrine's not going to do it. And your little verses of scripture, you see, might have some little help,
mm-hmm.
but they're highly concentrated too. You need
the
experience to go along with them.
Yeah.
thing I've noticed out here, anyone who can do the first aid on an automobile is in great demand.
You can do what?
First aid.
Overall fix them, yeah.
On an automobile.
Uh-huh.
You can tune them. Just tune it. That is, you see, put in new plugs,
mm-hmm.
and get the timing. And not complicated at all. And you got little instruments that'll help you do it. Is in great demand. Most people don't even know where the spark plugs are. Now that's not theoretical. And that's just part of this world. And a man who's got trouble with his motor, if somebody comes along who can help him out, even just carry a chain in the back of your car. I think those things, you see, which are not hypothetical. I think it's a great demand for things like that. I don't have anything to do with the university, you see. I've tried once or twice to get a toehold up there, but I never succeeded. Looks like it goes altogether towards the brainy side. And the usefulness of that, I should think, are fairly limited. They see you in it all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. Now you go over there with your fraternity brothers. You don't argue with them.
I live a lot different than I used to.
To discuss. And my experience is all it does is just wreck your nerves. It is disgust inside of it. But if you can do things with people, I bet you there's not six boys over there that can tune their motors.
I don't know. I think a couple of them probably could. They got some ones that really work on the cars all the time. They do. They do it and really race them up, I think, pretty much. But
yeah.
That thing, I know most of the house, like, you know, they spend so much time just playing cards, and then if they have a big test, they just take some Dex and just stay up all night and study for it, which, of course, wrecks their body, too.
That's right.
And Dex is, like, just like speed. And
you
forced
them, man, like, all this.
Well, I used to do it my sophomore year. I was using Dex a lot.
I don't take it.
Yeah.
I go to bed. Okay, screw it and go to bed. I mean, really, it's not that I don't care, but I do care. But then I go to bed. Last night I said, goodbye, Emmanuel. I'm going to bed. You're screwing me up.
last summer you didn't have any worries at all.
This past summer?
Yes.
Oh, no. Huh?
You're just paying for it now.
Oh, that was another story. Now, I worked last summer.
Yeah.
And I found nothing there either. So where do you find something?
Well,
I mean, I worked as a secretary and as a sales girl. That was a lot of fun.
Okay, everybody.
Well, I tried to find relevancy in the business world, you know, because it's so much different than going to school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to work from 9 to 5. Or from 12:30 to 9:30 if I worked at night at Sears selling. And when I went to work as a secretary, I typed and I took shorthand and I took orders and I poured coffee and I answered the phone. Didn't know what I was typing because I didn't care. Just typing things, you know, taking dictation. I was very nervous most of the time because, like, it was, you know, you had to do things in a hurry, get the work out, you know. You're taking a phone call, Lorraine, I need a cup of coffee, you know, this, that, and the other thing. So I could find no relevancy in being a secretary. There was just no meaning to it. And I worked at Sears.
You mean you had to do it all at one time?
Yeah.
You had the telephone, you'd type. And
yeah, well, yeah, like I'd be answering the phone and typing, and then my boss would say, Lorraine, how about another cup of coffee? And I was working for a secretarial service, and I would go to a different place every couple of weeks and have to adjust to a new situation, a new office.
Oh.
So it was sort of difficult. But I have secretarial skills. I'm a good secretary. I hate it. I mean, I don't hate it. It's just there's nothing to it. There's no substance in it. And I just can't, like,
some of these girls, like I see, they're really into it. You know, it's their whole life, and I think, God, I've got to get an education because I couldn't go back to that. How could I spend my life in a 9-to-5 job? I mean, at least if I was teaching, I'd be working with human beings, children, or something, you know, something creative. But with being a secretary, although I have the skills, there's just, to me, there's nothing in it, you know. Typing on a typewriter. What's typing on a typewriter? I just can't. And then when I was selling at Sears, I was in the record department, the jewelry department, the cosmetic department, and waiting on people and selling them records and selling them what shade looks good on me and selling them lingerie and selling them jewelry.
Sears.
I worked at Sears.
How'd you get on Sears?
Well, I've worked there on and off since I was about 17.
Sears?
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
We ran people in the way last year.
Yeah. I'm very personable with the public, but I used to get to a point where I'd start getting a breathing spell, you know, I'd be hyperventilating, and I'd have to leave, you know, go upstairs for a minute just to get away from them. So all of a sudden I see all these people coming at me, bringing me items to ring up. I think, get away from me, you know, and I just sort of get a flash, like I had to go, you know, and it's just so stupid, you know, so ill-controlled, but I did it. And then I lived at home, and I was, you know, my mother and I are very close, but, like, naturally she's different, and she doesn't understand a lot of the ways I think and everything, and, well, she always, I mean, she considers me her little girl, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love my mother. She's a great person, but we had a lot of problems this summer because of my thinking. And if I wore something she didn't like, she'd say, oh, take that off and put something else on. I just couldn't see the reasoning behind it, you know. So, my summer was irrelevant or whatever you want to call it. I'm wondering what I'm going to do with myself. And I'm going to school, you know, just to get out. Seems like you're always going somewhere to just do something else.
Well, why did you pick this place of all places? If you're not batting to start with, you'll be batting before you get through here.
Well, I didn't know where else to go. And my friends had been up here, and I couldn't afford going out of state. I'm on a loan as it is.
Well, what's wrong with Miami Dade?
I went there for 2 years.
And we got two more?
No, it's...
I transfer? No, that's it.
Just two's all they got?
Yeah.
Just a junior college. Yeah.
Anyway, Dr. Moss, it is good to get away from home for a while.
That's for sure.
Living at home can just about drive you crazy. I mean, it's nice to live at home, but then...
You mean living that hole the wall where I come this afternoon?
Well, that's not really home to me, but at least it does give me a little bit more freedom, and I feel like I have to depend more on myself than on my mother or somebody. I mean, like, I've always been a very...
Well, now, what do you depend on yourself for there? Everything's done, except wash the dishes.
Well,
you
I have...
You ride a motor yard, or...
No. It's not a question of that. It's a question of, let's say I'm upset about something or I've got a problem. I have to work it out without any, you know, without going and running to mother, you know, or something. And I just feel more...
You'd love to take care of this one, wouldn't you?
Huh? I'd love to what?
Take care of this problem.
This yeah, but she class. Couldn't work it out. Can you?
Yeah. Let's go work for Sears. There ought to be some neutral ground somewhere, oughtn't there? There ought to be a nice job where you could spend your summers, oughtn't there?
Yeah, I guess I'm not adventurous enough, although I'd like to be, but I'm afraid to be. Isn't that funny? You know, you want to be something, and you are something else. And there's this, there's a tragedy about it, because, you know, the ideal and the real, you know, what you think you should be, what you'd like to be. But I don't guess there's any reason why you couldn't be that.
Well, roughing it wouldn't help you?
What do you mean?
Mark Twain's gone or what?
Mark Twain.
Just going somewhere?
Well, that manner of his.
You mean taking on a certain kind of outlook?
I don't know. I'd get the same cross purposes just like you do if I were going out looking for something. I don't know what I'd do. I sure don't.
I feel like I've got to finish school. I'm so close to finishing it, and once I have a degree, maybe I can teach kids. Like, I've tutored and stuff, and I enjoy kids.
You like that?
I like kids, yeah.
But they won't let you give you an extra job in Alaska County. There's so many who have degrees, they can
no,
call.
No, they won't do
is
it.
That
it? I've tried.
Yeah.
And I mean, if I'm going to work, I've got to make money. I've done volunteer work already, and I've just, I mean, if I'm going to have a job, I've got to be making some money. They won't pay you unless you have a degree.
How much money do you have to make?
Well,
Dollar an hour?
Dr. Miles, I think a little bit more than that would be helpful.
Well, I ask you.
Probably $2 an hour.
How many hours?
Well, I couldn't really afford to work any more than 8 to 10 hours a week.
10 hours a week for $2 an hour?
Yeah, that would help. That would help pay groceries.
Every day?
Put
it all on 2 or 3 days?
Well, like Thursday would be a good day to work for me, more hours than like the other days, because my classes are split, you know. And but then some days work a couple hours or something like that.
That's a job be hard to find unless you make it a certain time.
I've looked and it is hard.
Have you gone to university? Because they can usually get jobs. I think it's 240.
And then if you work just a short time, you see you lose because the time going and coming. Be better to have it half day of time, wouldn't it?
Mhm. Yeah, because then, yeah, it really would be. But my schedule is split. You know, like I have classes, let's say, sometimes early in the morning and late in the afternoon. And
yeah.
There's no way out.
It's always the Lord.
I can't do
that's
that, Reed.
It's not like a ministry.
Yeah.
I'm glad you can do it, Reed, but
yeah.
I haven't found it.
Well, you see, he can't reach you.
No, he can't.
All you're doing is just giving you words, terms.
Turn to the Lord, I don't even know what that means. Where is
he? Ask him to help you.
That's the word. You know, there's, I don't know what it is, they used to have tracks.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And
pray to him?
Yeah.
Tracks? No, it's a little discussion.
I can give you some examples of people who had it happen.
Yes. Nice little thing. They met a great deal at one time. I haven't read any of it.
Yeah. No, that's good. I remember this one guy handed him out last year. That was a big thing about him.
I'm not sure that there is a Lord, though.
Well, that's the thing, yeah.
I need something tangible right now.
Yeah.
To just grip to the heavens, you know? I can't get a grip on the heavens. I just can't.
Well, the heavens can get a grip on you, though.
Well, then why don't they grab me?
Well, we got to ask them to first, that's the thing.
I've prayed before.
Yes, you got to ask them first.
Well, God damn it, what do I have to ask him for?
Well,
if he sees I'm in need, he can give me a little leeway.
Let me tell you know one of the nicest things I've found, but it won't work for everybody, really.
Yeah.
Is this Scotchman who...
I thought you meant Scotch. That's good. Scotch is always great when you've got a problem.
Yeah. Who wrote those little sayings on the scriptures. He got a little volume on Matthew, and one on Mark, and so on. And he takes them up, part by part.
Mm-hmm.
And they're connected, but there may be three or four pages, say, on one little section.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just beautifully done, with perfect clarity. And even if you didn't believe a word he said, it would be restful just to read it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that one thing, you see, none of the university people ever consider. Seems like they want to be abrasive, or that's not the word, but they're not easier on you. Easier.
No, because they feel that that's not quite meeting up to standard, you know.
Yeah.
And if it's going to be good, it's got to be hard. You know, it's got to be difficult.
Yeah.
And you've got to search and strain. And it's that, it seems like such an old, stupid way of doing things, you know, that.
Yeah.
Like struggling is the only way, you know, that sort of thing. It teaches you. It disciplines you. Makes me hate.
But now at Miami-Dade, they didn't do that.
No, they're a little bit more. I'd carry 16 hours at Miami-Dade, and I wouldn't be, and I'd work at night, and I wouldn't be half as freaked out as I am now. And I had pretty good professors.
Why, yes, you did.
And it was
easier.
Yeah,
they didn't give you this sort of stuff.
No. No. I had humanities courses at Miami-Dade. I made B's in them. And I mean, like, it wasn't super easy or anything, but it wasn't like this.
Well, that's your teacher here. I think he's,
well,
his fault.
He is rather difficult.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah.
And one course like that can disrupt your whole...
It does, Dr. Moffitt, because, like, I've got, all right, this is one course, then I have my English course with New, and New is great, and I understand the English, and I'm doing pretty well in the course, but I also have an awful lot of reading in that, and that's my major, and I'm more interested in it, and it's not so super easy. That course isn't easy, but at least I can read, and I can understand after a while, and he explains things so that if you don't understand them when you're reading, when you go to class, you can understand him. I neither understand the book or my professor. And then I have an education block where I have to do a lot of different things for the education block. So I'm only carrying 13 hours, but it seems like I'm carrying a lot more, you know, because of the courses I have.
You know, I would think that anybody these days would be well enough adjusted to just flourish at Sears. The only thing you possibly do is get tired.
But it's so...
But there wouldn't be anything to aggravate you. At Sears.
Sears in Miami?
Yeah, Teddy Sears. And they don't expect you to know a thing. You see, they'll rotate you from one department to another to be sure you don't know anything.
Well,
just to see his organization looks like it would be sort of soothing.
Be secure, I think.
Yes,
it's
take,
not soothing to me at all.
And take the responsibility, take any responsibility away from you.
But it's got nothing creative in it. It's just nothing. And
it's
like then, okay, for instance, one day I was doing my job and I had on a pair of slacks. They were nice pants. They weren't overalls, which, of course, I think are more comfortable. And I had on a white blouse, which you could not see through, but it wasn't a pantsuit. But they matched, but it wasn't a pantsuit. But I looked neat. Staff member calls me up to the office. This was just so unbelievable. And he's, you know, one of these very well-dressed men who looks down every girl's dress that he gets a chance. He calls me up and he goes,
Lorraine, I don't want to sound barbaric, but you do not have on coordinates. I said, you mean a pantsuit? He said, yes. I said, well, I'm doing inventory today, and so I wore this. I said, but it matches. That's not a pantsuit. And he said, well, we don't wear those things at Sears. He goes, and we wear undergarments. I said, you mean a bra? He goes, yes. And he says, now, not those kind of bras. He's explaining to me what type of bra I've got to buy. And I couldn't believe it. And like I was dressed, and you could not see through it. You could just, probably it's the blouse maybe slipped off my shoulder a little bit, and you could see that I didn't have a bra, and he just went completely wild, you know, like, we don't do that at Sears, you know. And I just got, and I thought it was so stupid, the stupidity of the whole thing. I was doing my job. I was taking inventory, getting dirty anyway, on my knees with putting away the records and writing down things and getting ink all over me. And he has to call me up for this inane thing. I'm nice to the customers. And he was complaining, you know.
And after that, you'd take it out on the customers, the old bastards.
I hated everybody after that. And then they walk around and they spy on you. So I used to take records out of the record department and take them home. put them in a bag and take them home. Used to confiscate records.
Just to show them?
I wanted them, and I thought, well, they're not doing anything for me, and they owe me. So, then I'd be in cosmetics, and I'd see a lipstick, and I'd go, gee, this is a nice lipstick, and I'd put it in my purse.
Right.
I used to work in the department. Of course, I wouldn't go in the store and just steal, but I didn't feel it was stealing. I thought it was just sort of working in the department and making up for it.
If you any place you work, there ought to be some sort of cut you get.
That's
you
right.
Got a pretty good 100% cut that one.
Yeah, Sears is very soothing. You're a lame brain. You can just be soothed by it all. And some they love it.
Yes.
They love it.
They
especially
love
when you
it.
Got a red badge on, because that means you're a manager, and they love that even better.
Yeah.
And this is what kills me, is the ignorance of some of these people. Usually I work in cosmetics when I work there. And there's manager. One day she comes up to me and she says, Lorraine, can you work tonight? I've been working all day. I said, no, Jane, I can't work tonight. Lorraine, they want to put a black girl in the department tonight. She's a manager. Red badge. I said, well, so what, Jane? She goes, black girl handling cosmetics? We can't have that. We've got to have you in the department tonight, Lorraine. What will they think? I mean, what will the customers... I said, I'm sure she won't contaminate the cosmetics, Jane, you know. And she was just really upset because somebody black was coming to work in the department. I mean, I just wanted to sock her one. Sears is so soothing.
You want a challenge, I guess.
Yeah. Real challenge, yeah. Oh. You have one extreme to the other.
Well, now, you didn't run across anybody else that was found Sears nerve-wracking.
What, Sears?
Everybody else liked it.
Well, they may not have showed it.
No, not everybody else liked it, but people had been working there for a long time. It just became a habit. You know, it was just the thing they did. They didn't think about it. If you don't think about it, if you don't think about things, I guess they don't bother you. Just don't think about it.
I think the best remedy is if you want to really like it, you got to be a mama with five children, and you go to see it, and you don't have to worry about those five children.
Mm.
That's right.
It's getting too warm in here, thing.
Yeah, I'll
leave the door open. Well, I mean, teaching is that's a real challenge.
I think so. I think
you'll really enjoy it.
I like kids.
Yes. Yeah. Now that's it.
Yeah, she's.
She got something she can.
But I've got to get through school right. First, and I've got to get through him to get through to little kids. I've got to get through these books and pass this course.
Why don't you go over there and speak to your education people? Maybe they can help you out.
Who's your counselor, Dr. Hipple or McGuire?
Vogel. They can't, Dr. Miles. They just don't. They'll just tell you that if you can't. See, you don't understand. I have to pass the course because in order to get into my blocks next quarter for education, I need to have another humanities course. Otherwise, they will not admit me. This is the humanities course I'm in. I must pass it. If I don't get into my blocks, what am I going to take next quarter?
Have you told this to your teacher?
I told Dr. Bartlett, yes.
Because, like, for seniors, sometimes.
But he doesn't care.
Really?
Not that he doesn't care. It's just that Dr. Bartlett feels you either pass or you don't. If you don't pass, you don't pass. I go to class all the time. And I go to see him and everything. But he just, he'd fail me if I failed or made a D. He'd give me a D. I mean, he wouldn't care that I came to class or read the material. It's what you get. What you do on your test. And that's it.
That's pretty poor.
And he's told us that, you know, like, he told me that you better do better on the next test, Lorraine. He knows I've been coming to see him all the time. You have to do better. And so I said, okay.
You know, I tell you, Reed, you see him a lot than I do. But it seems to me like I see more and more misfits, Lorraine.
What do you mean by misfits?
On the campus, the students. The students are having a harder time than they ever had, it seems to me.
I don't know, like...
With all the old protests, I think the protests are all dead and gone. Don't you know when they...
Well, they'll be growing it next year or so, because... I have inside information on the radicals because of some old friends, you know. It's always calm before a storm, but I don't know. Well, unless Nixon really does something drastic next year, there's going to be a lot of big stuff going. But that's the thing, like a lot of kids, like that's that big revolution that's still thinking about, you know. And school is part of the system, you know, they want to destroy that.
She's had a big taste of that.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. She's had her share of that. Do you think the next generation, they're just waiting for another generation to come on?
What do you mean by that?
She was in on that.
Be in the SMC or which one was it?
I wasn't in an organization. I was in on the strike in the spring before last. I ended up in the infirmary because of it. Because I couldn't, I was so idealistic, I couldn't handle it.
Well, that was you remember when Kent State and everything like that?
Yeah.
The strike committee, I was still on that. Andy Kramer and all those guys, yeah. Went to every one of their meetings.
You
did?
Yeah, boy, like, a couple of meetings, I was about the only one that showed up for some tea. But a couple of meetings in the early morning that first week, I was the only one that showed up for some of the meetings sometimes like that. Man, that's when the first guy came and talked about Christ too, and I told him he was crazy. There's no way I'd ever believe in Jesus. Yeah, that was our first Wednesday. We took over Target Hall, and they were giving all the big. They give these talks about how this will solve the world, you know. Well, one guy talks about Jesus Christ, and I went afterwards. I said, "How can you say something like that? You stupid fool!" But that's the thing. Like everyone, they were saying all those things. I remember Dr. Wurttemberg. Remember he was a German guy with real long hair. He was one of the professors in 201 when I took it. In philosophy too, went around too.
Yeah, he's not around anymore, is he?
I don't know.
Kurt, that was his name, or Gert.
Yeah,
Gert
Wurttemberg, yeah.
Yeah, I know Gert.
And but he did.
He's had philosophy 201.
Yeah, but when I take it,
it
was like
different.
A round table, and it wasn't
it's
even
e-
philosophy.
It was easy,
wow.
Wasn't it easy?
Yeah, like.
See, that's why I enrolled in it because I thought like it was very easy back then. Not easy, but I mean like it wasn't like this. My professor just happens to be.
She's got, I think,
difficult.
Yeah,
I took the same course as he did, but completely opposite.
So we had four guys and they just shoot the bull. But I mean, I didn't
know
anything.
That little reading class you took with me, was that difficult?
Well, it wasn't difficult. It wasn't easy. It wasn't, it wasn't difficult because of the fact that when I read the material and I went to class, and I understood it wasn't foreign language, you know what I mean? And it was something I was interested in learning.
Well, let me
I mean,
tell
it
you.
Didn't frustrate me to sit down and read Marjorie Kenning Rollins. How could it frustrate you to read her?
That's what I see. If
it's
anybody
can't English.
Read this material and come to class and get through without any trouble, it's just not possible.
Like Faulkner.
But you know what they do?
Yeah.
They don't read the material, and they don't come to class.
Yeah, well, see, I did both. I
and then they get all steamed up.
They wonder why.
Now, see, that's the whole thing.
See that
I start to read this material.
She's trying. That's the thing.
And I'm trying to read it, but I just can't hardly read it.
But that other stuff, there's not any question about trying. They can read it.
Yes, you can read it. It's in plain English, and you can understand it. If you go to class, first of all right.
It makes sense.
I know somebody that had you the same quarter I did. I don't even remember her name now, but she's a friend of my roommate's. And she said she just couldn't understand a word you were saying. But she didn't look. She didn't see. She didn't want to look. She wanted it very structured. And our class wasn't structured. And she wanted, you know, like, she wanted it more academic or something. And she wasn't getting into the experience, you know. Like, maybe she didn't come out here, or she didn't talk to some of the people, or whatever. And that's why, and she made a C, and she was just furious, I think, because she made a C. And, but she's an English major, and for God's sake, I don't know if she was reading or what, but, I don't know, she didn't think you knew what you were talking about. And I told her when she came over that she was crazy. I said, he is living the life that these people have lived. I said, he's experiencing it. Of course, how can he not relate it to you? I said, he's not just bullshitting you. I said, he's lived it. So what couldn't you get? You don't understand. This is a person that is relating experience that he has been through, that he knows of. And see, people don't want that. They don't want you to be experienced. They just want you to be academic.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Stephen
Brothel, that's right. I guess, yeah.
But see, like I felt proud of myself because I saw the depth in Dr. Miles. At least I thought, you know, I could, you know, and I was captivated, you know, because the way you used to come into class and you were just, you'd sort of go from one thing to another, but, you know, if you could stick with you if you tried, you know.
You have to think really.
You have to have been on the ball, and you have to listen, and you'd have to come to class, and you'd have to read the material.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't so awful difficult.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I worked in that class, and I read all that stuff. And
but you read. You like to read.
Well, yeah, like,
I didn't worry you. I didn't.
Yeah.
I tried not to worry people.
But you used to say, don't worry.
I tried.
He used to put us at ease, and everybody would be freaking out.
Yeah.
What are we going to get? And then I never worried about grades in your class either. And I made an A. I swear to God, I never thought I would make an A. I was so surprised when I got an A. I thought,
that must have been a time for everything.
And when I had to go write that term paper, Dr. Miles, I wrote that with such ease because it was just flowing. It was me.
Yeah.
It was my experience.
Yeah.
And that.
Did you ever get that back?
Not the original. It's okay, though. I have a carbon of it. I mean, a Xerox, which I've saved.
It's so hard for you to get the last papers back somehow.
Not the final I never got back.
No, I don't give back the final exam.
No.
I meant your paper.
Boy, that was some final, though. God, I must have been sitting there 3 hours at that final.
2 hours,
though. It's not like three. I think I stayed longer, I think, or something. Because I was just sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. It was so long that final was going on and on and on. But like Emily Dickinson, she was really something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, now, let me tell you, right now, I've got an awful nice bunch of people. And the thing's falling apart. And I can't keep them together.
Why?
I've got a screwball in there.
Oh, no.
Oh, he is a screwball.
Not the one we talked to in the hall, is it?
Yeah.
Is that one?
What does it do?
That screwball?
Not the big one.
The big one? Is
oh,
it?
He's nice.
Oh, yeah. I thought you liked him.
Oh, yeah. This other boy, I can get along with him, but he ruined his class. And I've got Vietnam veteran in there. And the first thing he did was write about a dope party. he came over there. You see, I knew the veterans after the last two wars, and they were all people just loved to see him coming. And now they see a veteran, and they just shudder. Mm-hmm. They're such screwballs, the veterans now. He came over today. He's big, nice looking fella. Yeah, some Colin, and he didn't take the midterm. He said he was just in he just happened to come see my door when he came in. He said he was just in the humor of junking it.
Junking it?
Well, you know, dumping it.
dumping
and
it.
Just letting it go. Because I had the Hamlet, each part, and I let them write on it in class. And the idea was sickening to him.
Sickening to him.
He knows, I guess.
Yeah.
He said.
And he couldn't even come back and take the midterm. The reason I had him write on it like that was that they hadn't read it. And I didn't want to lecture on it till they had read it, and I had nothing else to do.
Yeah.
I talked a little bit about it, you know, you can talk about it, you're not saying anything. And then I let them write a little bit. Perfectly harmless. I'd pick out some experience, like Houston or some of those people in there.
Mm-hmm.
Extraordinary experiences, which they would never see. You see, they're so full of themselves, they never got out of themselves in order to see anybody else's experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he sees people very clearly.
Me?
Yes. I don't think he can get out of himself enough to actually see what people are doing.
Well, because you're so much into what you're into.
Yes. It's like you on that strike, you see.
Yeah.
You got that revolution.
I couldn't see. I told you I couldn't see. I was blinded, totally blinded.
Well, she totally blinded.
Because I was obsessed.
But she found out. She found out about it. I mean, she could see it, but it took you a long time, didn't it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It took a long time.
I had seen that in North Africa, and in India. I had run into it. India was a land of all those the most sensitive people, I suppose, on the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
The people in India. You can't call them Indians. I never know what to call them.
Yeah.
The Hindus or Muslims. I don't know what is any difference to them or not. In that respect, but they almost, the spirit almost rises above the body, and they don't eat much and they don't have much body.
Yeah.
And when I was going through there on the way to the, I was just there 2-3 months waiting to get a ride over the hump into the China theater. I saw a great deal of them, and both of them, all of them had been to school, speak English, of course, because it's, you know, English schools they went to, English random there.
Mm-hmm.
And they would go just in great detail about the poor state of affairs, and there was always one reason for it, that the English were there. It is perfectly insane. Well, that's right, and I thought back, I said, do you suppose in the American Revolution, people, that's the way we seem to the English?
Mm.
I'm sure it was. Now, you see, just the boundary. Well, you see, you're getting the same thing. It's the same thing, this revolutionary thesis that they had on the strike. As long as they're serious, it'll disrupt them. It'll destroy them. If they're just doing it for the hell of it, to worry the authorities, kind of like they used to paint the alligator over there,
yeah.
It won't hurt them. And you see, what you ought to be able to do, You ought to be able to look at them clearly enough to see that, and see what extent they are doing that. All these freedoms they talk about are perfectly useless. Bedroom privileges and privileges and smokers can so smoke in the non-smoker's face. All those things. And all these cars and money to ride them, you see, all those freedoms. And to go to class and not to learn a thing, or not to go to class, I don't know. You know all those freedoms they talk about.
Yeah.
Well, the freshman might appreciate them, but I don't think an intelligent sophomore would ever be affected much by all those freedoms. They get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need them. They're bothersome.
It's freedom within yourself is what you need. Where you really feel free in an area where you don't, where you're not, where you're peaceful with yourself, you know? That's where your freedom lies.
That's right.
And to try and be free and not be peaceful, but striving for this freedom only makes you anxious, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And this is the whole thing. And if it will come, it will come. But to
they come in, you see, and they compete with the instructor.
The radicals, when they break up classes?
No, I'm thinking now just about the average students.
Oh, yeah.
They get the wrong idea.
Out, do you?
Yes.
Out talk you?
Well, a lot of time it's silence, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Like this boy couldn't stand it. It was sickening to him to have to write for 15, 20 minutes on some chapter and that thing there. That's taking instructor, you know, made him a little hard on instructor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I find it awfully difficult over there. I don't mean to get by. You see, you can talk your way through any of it. Just keep talking and you're safe. But if you slow up, you see, they'll scotch you. But what I'm thinking about is you know, getting next to people, just like Reed wants to do. I want to do that, too. I want to listen and, you know, sort of take hold of Ms. Rollins and the others and live with them, have them the rest of life. Useful. But it's like, huh? Could be hard to see us, you see. I hate to think about it being hard to see. I always think of sort of a C-minus intelligence, people with a C-minus intelligence. If they have it, if they have much, they don't show it, you know. It's see us. And it's, you know, it's you're not much as ask of you.
No.
And you know, a lot of times in a place like that, you know, if you were just halfway loyal to it, you can just fairly invest.
Yeah.
If you can resign yourself to it, you know.
I had to fold underwear for 7 hours one day.
Yeah.
Just fold underwear.
Yeah.
Just resign myself to folding underwear. We were having a sale in the lingerie department. The underwear was all over the place.
Yeah.
Just folding underwear. And this girl came by to say something to me. And I looked up and I was still folding and I was talking to her folding. The manager goes, "No more of that! You haven't finished folding yet!" I felt like I was in the... I don't know what I was in.
Yeah.
I just was full. I said, "Well, I haven't stopped folding." I said, "You know, yeah, I haven't stopped folding. I should have told her to..."